Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. If you are a regular listener, you know that we went through the chapter studying it for its primary purpose, which is to give instructions on proper New Testament church discipline. But now we're going back through the chapter, looking for insights relating to New Testament church government. And what have we learned so far? We've learned, number one, that Christ himself has invested the local church with his authority to act, to confront, to remove offending members from the church. This is something that not only Christ has instructed the church to do, but Christ has given authority to the church to carry out. We have learned that the entire membership participates in this process, that Paul addresses all of his instructions about this matter to the church, not to the elders of the church, but to the church as a whole. And he prescribes that the discipline process take place in an assembly of the church, when you are gathered together. Now, that doesn't mean that there hasn't been any preliminary work done by pastors in private sessions, elders, pastors, whatever you want to call them, in private sessions. I would assume that that has happened. I would assume that that should happen. Inquiries need to be made. Investigations need to be carried out. Careful examination needs to be thoroughly conducted, but when the issue is clear and the member is unrepentant, then the whole church is called upon to act in this matter. The instructions are given to the church, and the command to remove the offender is given to the entire church body here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, paralleling exactly what Jesus said in a similar setting in Matthew chapter 18, where he also said that the final authority is to tell it to the church, and if he will not hear the church, let him be to you as a heathen, as a publican, as an outsider. The church must put the person outside the congregation. And so that's what we have learned so far, but we'll continue on this Monday, August 9. We're glad you could tune in today. Thankful for those whose financial gifts keep us teaching on this station. So, the entire membership participates in this decision to discipline a sinning and unrepentant church member. But, and here's another important principle, and that is that church leaders predominate. The membership participates and the membership has the final authority. That must be understood. Membership participation, membership final authority. They're the ones who must make the ultimate and final decision about putting this sinning member outside the church. But the scripture also indicates that church leaders are to predominate in the ruling process. I had one more text before I get into that. I almost forgot it. I mentioned it on the broadcast Friday. But one more text in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 that indicates the entire church membership, the whole congregation is involved in this. And that is what we read in 2 Corinthians 2, 6 through 8. This punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, is sufficient for such a man. Paul is talking about somebody who was disciplined by the church and is now repentant, and he's instructing them to receive him back. Presumably the same man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that was put out because of unrepentant immorality. Apparently, the discipline carried out by the congregation had its desired effect. He was delivered unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of Lord Jesus. He apparently was brought to repentance, acknowledging his sin, forsaking his sin, desiring to be received back. Now the church said, what do we do? They seemed like they weren't sure whether they should receive him back. And Paul says, yes, you should. Verse 6 of chapter 2, 2 Corinthians, this punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, not inflicted by the elders, but inflicted by the majority, is sufficient for such a man, so that, on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. So in the beginning, he was put out of the church by a majority decision. Now Paul is telling the church to receive him back by a majority decision. This punishment, again, verse 6, which was inflicted by the majority. Sounds like a church vote. And the majority made the decision. Was it unanimous? Paul didn't say so. It might have been. Unanimous is certainly the majority, but it doesn't require unanimous for there to be a majority decision. I can think of a couple of times in the history of our church when we have had a very difficult matter and didn't do it just by a voice vote or upraised hands, but actually by a paper ballot to give everybody an opportunity to express their opinion anonymously. Normally, I don't think that's actually the preferred way. I think doing it in an open session, giving people opportunity to voice their support, aye, or their opposition, no, and so forth. There's a lot of value in that. Or even by upraised hands, everybody in favor, raise your hand. Everybody opposed, likewise, raise your hand. Sometimes people will say the same sign, that is to raise your hand. But there are some things that probably ought to be carried out with what we call a secret ballot, carried out by a paper ballot. And I'm thinking of one particular issue in our church that goes back now, I suppose, 25 years or more. Very serious matter. It occupied our attention over the course of probably 2 years before it was finally brought to resolution. And finally, it was put to a vote, and when the results were in, the decision was made by approximately 75% to 25%. I may have that off by 1 or 2 percentage points, but it was something in that neighborhood. That was decisive. And thankfully, even those who had strong opinions in the opposite direction recognized that the majority, a strong majority, not even just a small majority, not a bare majority, but a strong majority, had decided in a particular direction. And to their credit, most of these people were willing to accept that decision. I must say most, because one or two decided that this was too serious for them to remain. And so we lost a couple of members in that particular issue, not surprisingly, if you knew what was involved, which I won't tell you now. But majority, that's what I'm talking about, this idea of majority vote, and that's what Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians 2, 6. This punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, is sufficient for such a man. That's enough. You don't have to continue to kick him out, to continue to keep him out. You did that by majority vote, but now he's repentant, so now you receive him back. Presumably the same way. Majority action both ways. You removed him by majority vote, now receive him back by majority vote. So there is strong membership participation here, strong membership authority here, strong membership ultimate authority. They have the final say, both in the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 18, as well as in the words of Paul here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. But that doesn't mean that every decision is to be put before the congregation for a vote. And the indication of Scripture is that elders take the lead, and elders make a lot of decisions, and not everything is referred to the congregation. What else does the very idea of elders ruling mean? As, for example, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, etc. Here is an instruction regarding elders to rule. Now, that doesn't mean they have ultimate authority or final authority, but it means they have, I would take this to mean they have day-to-day authority. If they rule well, if they administrate well, if they make good decisions on behalf of the church. And the same idea is found in the word that is used in 1 Timothy chapter 3, where he says, I'm having to turn my page here, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. Well, who is a bishop? A bishop, that's an episcopus. It's where the Episcopalian form of church government gets its name, an episcopus, a bishop. A bishop is one who oversees. That's what the word bishop means. He oversees. And that word is used several times. A bishop then must be blameless, one who rules his house well. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? So church leaders predominate in the governing of the church, but church members participate in that process. It's not something that the leaders do and simply inform the congregation what they have done. I really have no question that that's appropriate in some matters. Is again, I say the church doesn't need to participate in everything or to rule in everything. And again, the details are not given to us so that sometimes two churches that have a congregational form of government will carry out the details of that in different ways. I can remember two or three years ago, maybe four now, that the elders in our church, and I think in this case also with the deacons included, took an action, made a decision, and one of the church members came to me and said, why wasn't that brought to the congregation? And I explained to him why it wasn't, that we have a general understanding of how things are done, and the congregation had given authority for this expenditure in the budget, but the actual details of how it was going to be administered was left up to the leaders. And so the leaders made a decision that had been authorized in general by the congregation. The money had already been approved, but the details were decided by the leadership. Well, I must return tomorrow. Until then, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.